The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Thanks to spiritmotorgroup.ie. With secure online payments, buying your next used car has never been easier. With Spirit Motor Group.
The European Commission has proposed a recovery fund worth $750 billion to help the European Union through the economic crisis that will result from the COVID-19 affair. The package will be made up of grants and loans for every EU member state, and the money will be used to counteract the damage of the pandemic while also trying to modernise economies and reduce imbalances within the 27-country bloc. Now, just to give you some examples of the figures of the fund, 81.8 billion will go to Italy, 77.3 billion will go to Spain. They'll be the two biggest beneficiaries of the fund, but Germany and Poland, all the rest of them are getting money. Ireland gets, out of 750 billion, Ireland gets 1.9 billion. Professor John O'Brennan is the Jean Monnet Chair of EU Politics at Maynooth University, and he's on the line now. John, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, just on the face of it, it seems miserable.
Indeed. Well, firstly, I think we should state that while the initial response from the EU to COVID-19 was pretty incoherent and inadequate, things have really ramped up dramatically in recent weeks. We've seen the Commission now propose a plan of $750 billion that's hugely ambitious in scale, and that builds on the plan presented by France and Germany last week. And what we're going to have now for the next 3 weeks or so before the European Council summit on the 19th of June. And remember, this is a plan. It has to be signed off by all 27 member states at that summit. I think we're going to see a lot of bargaining, digging into granular detail. And as is always the case where EU money is concerned, there are going to be disagreements. But I don't disagree with you when you say that the figure for Ireland is pretty small and paltry. But just to explain that the calculations are based on a complex formula of indicators. These include the size of the member state economy, the relative share of that member state in the wealth of the EU, and Ireland is a very wealthy state in comparative terms, how badly hit we've been by COVID-19, and the relative need and capacity of each member state to respond to crisis.
So now, John, who devised this? Who devised this formula?
Basis.
Because I'm just thinking, if someone said, John O'Brennan, how wealthy are you? And you'd say, oh, well, I have a house and I have a holiday home and I have a car. And then I'd say to you, well, how much do you owe the banks? Mortgage for your holiday home, mortgage for your house, a mortgage or the amount outstanding on your car loan. What other debts do you have? So you get your net wealth, if you like. So although Ireland's economy has been doing well and we managed to balance the budget and even create a surplus, we've got that massive overhang of the debt from the last crisis. So we're not that well off.
Well, the basis for the calculations here, Pat, is the normal EU budget. And what this is going to do is to add to the seven-year EU budget, which will kick off next year. There are important differences here in the way that these calculations are made. We should say that these are contingent. They are up for negotiation. And I agree with you when you talk about debt burdens and other things. If you look at the relative contributions and receipts from the European Union, Ireland is not doing particularly well out of this. For example, Hungary is set to receive about 8 billion euros from this plan, Bulgaria about 7 million population, about 9 billion. So I think it's certainly true that we're not coming out of this all that well. But that is also the case for other wealthy states like the Netherlands, which is going to receive about 4 billion in total in grant form. But again, there's 3 weeks of very, very hard negotiations before we get to the point where leaders may or may not agree on this.
Now, looking at some of the other countries, Portugal, for example. Now, Portugal has a fabulous record in terms of controlling COVID-19. 130 per million is the latest figure I have from the 27th of May, which is yesterday. And Ireland has a far worse figure. I mean, Ireland comes in at 332. So you'll say, how come Portugal needs all this cash when they are not that affected by COVID-19. Their economy is open for business earlier than ours. Their tourist industry is resuming. Internal tourism is going apace. External tourism a bit slower. We're trying to figure out, you know, who wrote these rules? Because they do seem to disadvantage us.
Well, whatever the nature of the impact of COVID-19 in terms of the number of infections and deaths in each member state, the impact on the economy, because every member state has got to shut down, over, has had to do so over the last 10 weeks, you know, has been equalized. So it's one thing to talk about, you know, how particular regions of the EU have been impacted in terms of public health. But actually, it's a very different thing for the economy. Eastern Europe, for example, from the Baltic states right down to Bulgaria, has been vastly less affected by the crisis. Bulgaria's had only about 150 people die, but the impact on their economy has been extraordinary because, just like us, they've had to shut down entirely over the last 10 weeks.
Okay, I'm looking at other countries. I mean, obviously, Italy and Spain need the cash. If you look at their deaths per million, Italy, it's 545 compared to our 332. You can understand those countries that were in trouble and that bore the brunt of the whole thing. But the idea of this is they're going to issue bonds, which will be paid off after 30 years, but at a certain point, we start paying the interest back, and that's where it gets kind of complex and possibly divisive, because some of the ideas that have been thrown up would really punish us. I mean, a tax on transport, for example, where do we lie? We lie at the periphery of Europe, and we've got a non-EU country to get through to get to the European landmass. Talking about taxes on the digital economy and so on, these are things that we've fought against. And yet, you know, everyone has to sign up to these. We'd be expected to sign up to these to get 1.9 billion. Sorry, not well, it's not an offer I can accept.
2 points in response. Firstly, the size of the EU budget, although the headline amount of 750 billion seems like a lot, relative to the entire EU GNP of about 15 trillion, it isn't. The EU budget, the normal budget, comes in at about 1% of overall EU GNP. Compared to the federal budget in Washington, for example, it is infinitesimal. And what the Commission is proposing here is simply to double that amount to 2% of EU GNP for the foreseeable future. So it's one thing to say that this appears like, you know, an extraordinary amount of money. It simply isn't. Secondly, you are right, I think, that the Commission has linked the dispersal of funds here to the Green New Deal that Ursula von der Leyen announced before COVID-19 arrived. And there is a conscious effort, I think, to link decarbonization to the recovery fund and the recovery effort, and also the, as you mentioned, the digital economy project of the Commission. And I think in Irish terms, there will be a slight worry because one of the proposals here to add to those that you've pointed out on farming, potentially those impacts and so on, is a proposal to tax large corporations. It's very vague in outline form currently. I think it'll be the subject of a lot of attention by Irish officials who will worry that this represents a kind of competence creep on tax that the Commission is trying to do by the back door, what it's been trying to do by the front door, as it were, in recent years. But again, I stress that this is all contingent and it has to be negotiated now by the 27 sovereign governments.
Is there a deadline on this?
I think there is a real effort going on to get this done by the summer because, of course, the need, Pat, within our economy and those of the other 26 member states is so pressing. And we're beginning to see that opening up happen now at an accelerated rate all around the EU. The European Council summit will take place on the 19th of June. Once that's through, I think the effort will be to try and get it over the line by the end of June so that we could begin to start dispersing funds to sectors and member states where it's most needed.
Okay, a number of texts coming in. Shades of the bondholders, screw all over again. Screw me once, shame on you. Screw me twice, shame on me. Where are our representatives? Mairead McGuinness last night on Ivan's show sounded like the best girl in class, always trying to please her masters. I heard that interview that Ivan did on The Hard Shoulder, and you know, Mairead McGuinness didn't have the numbers in terms of what Ireland might get, and again playing the EU line, and that's her job as first vice president, perhaps. But doesn't our texter have a point? You know, we were screwed over by Europe on the bondholders when we were told not to, to burn even the secondary bondholders. And we paid up and rewarded the German and French banks. Here we go again.
Well, I think that may well be the case. I mean, I voted against the fiscal treaty in 2012, partly on those grounds. But that was then, and this is now. The simple fact is that European economies are facing this existential crisis. And this is going to absolutely dominate our lives as we play cat and mouse with the virus over the next couple of years. What's being proposed, to my mind, is an extraordinary step for the EU, Pat. It is a Marshall Plan for our time. Remember that the United States in 1947 contributed 1% of its GNP to European recovery for four consecutive years. And it did help enormously with getting that recovery started. Here, Europeans are actually helping themselves to recover from the COVID-19 crisis. And I think this does represent a genuinely historic landmark in the collective project of Europe, as we've known it since 1957.
Question whether or not we had our eye off the ball, given we're in government formation at the moment and we're concentrating clearly on the COVID-19 crisis. I mean, did we not have loud enough voices sitting around the tables when this scheme was being hatched?
Well, remember that we've been a net contributor to the EU budget now since 2014. And that's simply because we are one of the wealthiest states in the EU. And I don't think listeners need to be reminded that over the last 50 years, we have been extraordinary in the receipts that we have garnered from the European Union. I think what's going on here is an effort to try and fairly distribute the burden right across the member states. There are some of them that are still quite opposed to this, the Netherlands and some of the so-called frugal four, but I think there are increasing signs that they are willing to go along with this because they recognize the extraordinary responsibility of governments and public authorities to help businesses and to help communities get back on their feet.
Is it not all about self-interest? Here's one. This smacks of the European Commission devising a plan to throw large amounts of money at Italy and Spain to counter Euroscepticism in those countries. Ireland, the teacher's pet of the EU, gets nothing. Simon Coveney and his Mandarins have questions to answer. And you're wondering, if we can borrow so cheaply, as the National Treasury Management people have been doing to fund our situation at the moment, why go into this scheme, which we're going to pay for and pay more than other people, and then be screwed on the digital taxes and on transport taxes and every other damn thing? There's nothing in this for us.
Remember that this is just one component of the EU plan for the COVID recovery. It also includes guarantees from the European Central Bank. It includes investment loans from the European Investment Bank. It's also already produced a unique unemployment support scheme for those member states that needed to help pay people who had suddenly, through no fault of their own, become unemployed. So what we're talking about here, if you put all of the different pieces together, is a big bazooka, so-called, comparable to that of the United States, where they've already committed more than $3 trillion to the recovery effort, comparable to Japan and to other parts of the world. So this isn't the only game in town, Pat. This is the EU budget component of it. There are other components that are equally important, and we shouldn't ignore that. And this is going to play out, I think, over the next 2 years in a way that is going to see the very normal kind of back and forth EU negotiations. Some member states win, some member states lose in specific areas. But if you put it all together, it represents this extraordinary kind of extraterritorial effort to help the individual member states get through this extraordinary crisis.
I'm just echoing, though, that in my mind, the text that's remaining with me is, screw me once, shame on you. Screw me twice, shame on me. You know, there are shades of Ireland getting the raw end of the stick, though, on this. The things that we have jealously guarded with regard to taxation and so on that are our competence might have to be, in order to get agreement, might have to be given up. That doesn't sound like
what?
A good
deal.
There
are 26 other member states out there. Many of them don't like the corporate tax regime that has prevailed here. And by the way, the government could do a lot if it's unhappy with this by simply accepting the judgment of the European Commission in the Apple case. And we would have €15 billion immediately delivered to Merrion Street to help with our recovery. We can make choices here, but remember that other member states have their interests, and all of this is in the mix as these negotiations go on down to the European Council in June.
All right, John, thank you very much for joining us. It's very interesting stuff. Professor John O'Brennan, the Jean Monnet Chair of EU Politics at Maynooth University.